Shouldn't be. No way. Last night was just like too many other nights this year. Just sloppy and very dispiriting and too many excuses postgame. Get back to these calls. Mets, good win. See, to me, I mean, I can't prove this, but I almost feel like, let's say the Mets come out last night and they blast the Angels 9-1. And like Senga's dominant, he was terrible. But I'm saying in this alternate universe that I'm about to present to you for a moment to prove a point, a possible point. They win 9-1, Senga deals, you know, go six, he's efficient, bullpen lockdown, you know, maybe Lindor busts out. He has been a mess. You know, Soto with a couple of knocks, bottom third of the order gets loose, and the Mets just pummel a bad team. Like, I almost think that the way they won last night would be more of a springboard to galvanize this team than coming out and just rolling a team that's probably fairly disinterested and 3,000 miles away from their home last night. I think that's the kind of win, maybe, because other things still need to happen. Trade deadline, of course, we hit that yesterday. But other things need to happen. I'm fully aware of that, and I'll tell you what in a minute. And I want to get into something that Stern said, but I just think that that's a unifying kind of win. I mean, you start to hear the murmurs, the boos, and you know the top of the order doing nothing, and Senga was just a mess, and you know there's just things that were again creeping into the picture that was kind of making it a little ugly out there in Queens. And then, yeah, what do you know? I thought Beatty's play where he jumped up and he snared that ball and played the plate. Alvarez, good tag, boom. I thought that was kind of hidden in some of the offense that happened later in the game. So a good win, there's no doubt. And we'll see what this does for the Mets here. But, you know, David Stearns, who, and we'll play this for you in a minute, I think that I don't love what I heard from him, but I also understand he's not going to divulge state secrets here. Like, you know, I know we want more. And Cashman actually did say last week, he's like, basically, we're going for it. I mean, full bore, gung-ho. We are taking a massive swing. It's pretty much what he said, where Stearns was very close to the vest and, you know, didn't conceal a whole lot. I mean, he would barely even grant you center field. He said, yeah, the production, not quite what you want, but then he talked about the defense and some other stuff here. So there's no way that David Stearns can look at this team, right, can look at this team and not understand there is a massive need, as I've said for a long time, for a bat. The bullpen stuff is obvious, but I want to play this for you, and then I want to tell you one mistake that Stearns has to avoid. Go ahead, guys.
David, you mentioned the offense in center field, but overall the depth of the lineup hasn't probably been as productive as you'd hoped over the last month or so. Is that something that you think can be fixed internally, or is that something that needs to be addressed as well?
So I might push back on that a little bit. I actually think the depth of our lineup over the last couple of weeks has been pretty good. We're turning the lineup over pretty nicely, I think. We have guys at the bottom of our lineup who are extending at bats, seeing pitches. I think the fair critique is we haven't scored runs. We've taken pretty good bats. We're getting guys on base, and we haven't scored runs. And that goes back to a theme that we've talked about a lot here, which is getting those hits and executing with runners in scoring position, which has been a challenge for us all year. I don't have the answer for that. I wish I did. We'd have solved it. But I actually think that the length of our lineup has been pretty good over the last, say, 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so this leads me to push it forward and the thing that Stearns has to avoid. And based on what he's saying, again, I know he's not going to divulge too much, so I'm not going to hang literally on every word, obviously. But if that's most of what he's believing, like if he's just not playing coy, whatever, I think he's in for a massive, massive mistake here. Because when you talk about the bottom of the lineup and the Taylors, you know, and Beatty's definitely shown some signs, and Alvarez is back, and he's certainly a guy, young player, that could get hot and could do some real damage. We've seen it. 25 home runs already 1 year. Acuna, you know, Winker eventually is going to be back. Marte, I guess he's not a very fast healer. But, see, I just think it is way too risky for David Stearns to believe what he just told you right there. It's one thing to say it. That's okay. but to believe it. Like David Stearns gets in his car last night, leaves Citi Field, drives, you know, I'm sure to a nice little mansion at this point, wherever he's living, probably out east, and probably next to Boomer. And he, you know, he's thinking and he's believing what he said. I think that the Mets are dead. Then the Mets will not win. They will not, even with two good bullpen arms, the offense is not good enough. You cannot rely on, like, so many variables to come to fruition and pop. Like, it's one thing if you've got a lineup that's just locked and loaded and there's, like, one spot, one young player, and you're going to trust him because you believe in him enough. And even if he doesn't hit enough, there's enough defense and there's enough other offense around him to shield him. There is not enough offense around these guys to shield them. I mean, when Lindor doesn't hit, and he has not hit for a minute, I mean, at this point, you have to, is it the toe? I mean, I kind of pushed that aside pretty fast, but it's been so long, and it's really kind of connected to when he broke his toe. I mean, it's hard not to be fair to the guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, if you hurt, you shouldn't play. If you hurt to that extent. But, you know, Soto has not had an amazingly vintage season. He's had a phenomenal month. That's it. McNeil, resurgent. But you just never know what version you're getting from McNeil. Same with Nimmo. Come on, we've talked about this forever. If I say to you, the Mets' mission right now, and it is, this is rhetorically stated, is the Mets' mission, or asked, is the Mets' mission this year to win a World Series? And the answer is yes. Payroll, Soto, Lindor Prime, Manaea contract status, Senga contract status, Diaz contract status, Nimmo age contract status, all the things we know. Is this a World Series lineup? The answer is unequivocally no. You need to yell about that. Not good enough. So to me, if Stearns really believes that, he is setting himself up to be less than when it matters. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fence. Sal is off. He's off all week. Let's get back to the calls here. Obviously, the Yankee stuff, first hour. Now the Mets stuff is on the table. Jay's in Neptune on the fan. What's cooking, Jay?
Hey, listen, BT, thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jay.
I'm a lifelong Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, Phil Rizzuto was my neighbor.
Wow. Wow, I miss him. I loved him. Yep.
I got tons of stories I could say, but
sure.
for the purpose of time here, I'm a huge radio junkie, always have been since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And while I watch Yes and in the Yankee game, I also in the background have, you know, the radio on, and the only one that's telling the scoop on this whole Yankee team, that's why I turn off Boone, is Susan Wolman. She was saying last night from the get-go, and I can't tell you how many times she's enumerated it,
yep,
that the Yankee left side of the infield has been an issue from day one, and I mean, she pounded it last night, and, you know, that's why I love her, because she tells it like it is. I can't listen to Boone. That's about all I've had to say. You're right on it. You hit the nail on the head, and it has just infuriated me. Thanks for taking the call.
No, Jay, you got it, buddy. Yeah, funny, I had the broadcast on a little bit as well. I was in the basement. I was trying to do some stuff, and my TV wouldn't work. One of the TVs in the basement, and I'm like, and where I was, whatever. So I listened to the game for a while when I was doing what I was doing. And that's no surprise. Susan's always going to keep it real. That's why we love having her on the show. Maybe we'll get Susan on this week, Huff. Maybe we'll reach out to Susan. There you go. It's been a little bit. I was texting her about 2 weeks ago about something. She's a straight shooter. You know, when you've been in that job for a long time, like Sterling last year, he's basically saying the runners are drunk. I mean, the lack of tolerance and acceptance for just substandard play. Why are you going to lie? Why are you going to try to deceive us? Come on, Susan's got no reason to do that. You know, what are the Yankees going to fire her if she's too honest? Stop. So I get the same thing from her that you got. And she wears it. She lives it. Like, you could tell when Dave's calling a home run or a double, you know, you hear the groans and they're audible. Like, oh man, you know, you could just tell that she's not happy. She's a Yankee fan. You know, she knows the left side's a disaster right now. There's no doubt about it. Let me get Scott down to Port St. Lucie. Scott, what's going on, bud?
What's up, E.T.? Big fan.
I'm good. Thank you. What's happening, man?
Real quick, with the Yankees, I'm a big Mets fan, but for years the Mets always hyped their prospects, and they never amounted to anything. Now I feel like the Yankees are doing that. I mean, you saw from the beginning, you got Frazier, you got Gary Sanchez, you got
We know Flavor, them all. I know.
And you know what? For years, you remember the year when DeGrom was becoming a free agent?
Yes.
The Mets were trying to make a trade with the Yankees, and the Yankees would not take DeGrom for, like, Andujar and Torres, and it's just, I think if the old man was alive, this would not be happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little tired, quite frankly, just of the old man references. I get it, Scott.
I know what I'm saying. It's a new guy. I totally understand.
I mean, it's not like George died last year, Scott. That's all I'm saying. And I get it. It's a point of reference. I'm not coming at you at all. I appreciate what you're saying because you're right. I mean, if George was, you know, still young and virile and, you know, nutty George when he wasn't suspended, hey, there's a lot of things that go down that wouldn't be going down. That's obvious. But, you know, it's 2025. He didn't die last year. Been a long time, unfortunately. So, a little desensitized to some of the stuff, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept it forever. And last night was a breaking point for me. You know, if you listen to the show, if you follow me on social media, I'm definitely supportive of Aaron Boone, and I still am, but don't lie to us. Let it rip once in a while. And I thought last night was too far in a direction that is not emblematic or reflective of what's going on right now with his team's defense. Specifically, the left side. Even the other night with Vivas, take it up from third. Got to pull him out. Bench him. That's what I would do. And I just don't want to hear some of the stuff anymore. I just don't want to. Let me get Butch down in Myrtle Beach. Hey, Butch, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, BT?
All good. What you got?
Question for you. Do you think David Stearns is kind of not showing his cards? You know he has to increase the lineup and get more productivity. But do you think he's not trying to sound too desperate going into the trade deadline?
I think there's always an element of that. Absolutely. Now, I don't really think that it does much. Listen, Butch, business 101. The last time to strike a deal is when everybody knows that you got to strike a deal. You have zero leverage. It evaporates immediately. So I understand that. That's a good question. Of course, I think he's playing possum a little bit, but I don't think it has any effect. Because everybody we're sitting here on the radio telling you for months what the Yankees need, what the Mets need, what this team might do, which team might trade, which team might sell. So you don't think actual people who do it for a living understand the holes on the Mets roster and understand where they are payroll-wise and, you know, trying to build off last year and their quest for a championship, first time since 86? Of course. It's not breaking news. Wow. The Mets need some bullpen arms. Oh, my God. What a stunner. I will tell you one thing, and this is not a knock. This is just an observation. It's just a very truthful observation. So I'm listening to Stearns last night. Remember yesterday we discussed what kind of grade we would give him. I don't even know how it came up, but some of the callers were less kind than me. Like, I think it's unfair because a lot of the people that point to the Mets' success with Stearns, they're like, well, you know, he didn't get Soto. That was Cohen. Well, he didn't get Lindor. That was Cohen. Well, he didn't get Pete, re-sign. I was Cohen and Boris, whatever. I get it, but he did bring in Manaea, and without Manaea, not a playoff team a year ago, and he did bring in Iglesias on a minor league deal, and without Iglesias, you're not a playoff team last year. So, you got to be fair. So, my grade's a little bit higher, but I could already see it coming. Not if, because it's more when, because it's just going to happen. When that first Met drought happens, and I don't mean like the old Mets, like where there's 9 years of futility. I don't mean that, but when it's just less than what people expect, the way David Stern speaks and the way he presents things is going to drive people nuts. You know, I even heard the guys laughing about it this morning. Jerry was playing some stuff in the update, like, you know, kind of booing with the Lane stuff. I forget the exact verbiage, but it's like, dude, you know, yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get like that rawness. And I don't mean like a maniac. That's certainly not his style. That rawness, that realness, that presentation, you know, when as a fan you want to pound the flesh, and we've all been there with our teams, and eventually you'll be there again as a Met fan, just like I'll be there as a Yankee fan. I'm a little bit there today, you know, but he's not that delivery is, I think, going to piss you off more when it's lean. We'll see. All right, let me get Steve up in Connecticut on the fan, BT and Sal. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, BT, what's up, brother?
I'm good, dude. What's happening?
Good. My point's on Volpe, but real quick on Boone. This is obviously, we've been saying it forever. It's what the Yanks signed up for when they let Joe go. So coddle the players, pump them up, apologize for them. So, and when stuff gets rough, that's when it really irritates us.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Me and my kids will watch a post game only to see who Boone is, you know, is playing up to tonight, who he's covering up. The guy goes 0 for 4, 4 Ks. And he had a good approach, actually. So I don't know why we watch it. It just irritates us more.
Well, but here's the one thing, though. You got to get that. Like, you just talk to us. You know, we know what we're watching. And that's one of my themes today. The accountability's got to be more transparent. But think about this, Steve. You mentioned Girardi, all right? I mean, Joe's doing some TV. It's not like Joe's so amazing where there's getting three or four teams knocking down his door. You know?
Right. No, I'm not
so
saying
it's all, I just say that. I just say that. Steve, I just say that. It's always easy to romanticize what was. And I was a Girardi fan. Not over the top, insane, crazy fan, but certainly a supporter. And the old school nature, that kind of vibes with how I am. But the guy was far from perfect. And that's all I'm saying. Let's not misremember what bothered us about him.
I know. Yeah. With Volpe, I feel like in the beginning, I was like, I feel like he's a victim of expectations, pumped up expectations. But now, I mean, it's been 3 years now. And the things he does well, BT, I think you'd agree. Like, he goes yard. And when he does, I don't get that pumped up. I'm like, all right, whatever. Because I know the next three at-bats, he's swinging from his heels again.
Yeah.
I think what we think he should be is shorten the swing a bit, gap the bat, line drives, uses wheels, but he's never on base, strikes out a ton. And what he does well, what he does well is contrary to, I think, his sustainable success.
I think that's an outstanding point. I think that's you nailed a lot there, Steve. You're right. It's funny, when he goes yard, I'm happy for him because I'm rooting for him. But from a conviction perspective, I never feel like, all right, here we go. Now you give me a couple of doubles, you go 3 for 5, you know, whistle a few the other way in the right center gap, steal a couple of bases, you know, catch it. That's what excites me about Volpe, because that's the player he should be. You know, if you ask me, you know, and it is year three. So, like, by year five or, whatever the ceiling is, and that's, I don't know what it is. I don't. Anthony Volpe should be, I would say, about a 270-ish hit, you know, low 270s. You know, maybe a year or two, sniff 280 with 35 doubles. And he's going to actually get there this year. 40 steals and an OPS of about, you know, 750, 760, catch it, run, 40 swipes. And if you're on base that much, if you're hitting 270, you're going to get 40 steals. So, I you really nailed it there, Steve. The home runs, again, especially if it's, you know, in a meaningful spot in the game, I'm like, hey, go. And I'm just happy for him. So I really am sincerely rooting for him. But it doesn't do anything to make me feel good about, all right, here we go. It's the beginning of a hot streak. Here we go. He's turning the corner. Very interesting observation. I feel you on that.